Well, good morning.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. It's a good day. Right? Father's Day is really more of a side note. I think Mother's Day is the better one, for sure. So, I'm glad that you're here. And if you're a visitor, then welcome. I'd love to get to know you better. Feel free to leave some information for us if that's you. So, we've been in the series, Last Words. And it's been a lot of fun. I know there's some hard texts, and I think today's another one of those. As we walk through this, though, I think we're going to see the importance of just how people live their lives in the Bible, those characters in the Bible, and then some of the last things that they said. They really said a lot about their lives, if not really demonstrated who they were as a person. And today, we'll be looking at really the last words of Rachel in Genesis chapter 35. As you can go ahead and turn there, just be a few verses today. I hope to get you out in time to go to all those special places and do those special things you need to do with your mom and or for your mom or with your kids at whatever phase of life you're at. should be fun. So go ahead and turn there, Genesis 35, verses 16 through 20. We'll be talking about sacrifice. And the phrase I want you to remember is greatest sorrow to greatest strength. And I think that'll make a little more sense as we get through the end of the text today. So probably most of you, if you had a halfway decent mom who cared about you, who was there in your life, you know there were a lot of sacrifices that were made. Maybe you didn't notice as many of those as a kid, or maybe even growing up as a teenager, you're still, you know, you hear that like, mom sacrificed a lot, but you don't really realize that until you become a parent. And I can tell you that being a husband and a father, I've seen that firsthand with my wife, Christy, and just all the things that they give up at times to take care of the needs of the kids. And so it means a lot to me. And you probably think of maybe some stories or settings that you were a part of with your mom, or maybe even some sacrifices that you have made, ladies, even now. My mom growing up, I remember she went back to work after I was born, but I think it was only about a month, and she said I just couldn't take it anymore. And so I quit, and I went back home, and she proceeded to take care of me and then the rest of my three siblings that would come along before going back to work part-time. And so I know I've heard a lot of those stories, and it just seems like what a difficult world we live in, you know. A lot of times both spouses work, but you still, you know, you feel that pull to be at home for a season and to make a lot of sacrifices for your kids. And think about that sacrifice. I think about the words of one of the founders of Word of Life. He said, it's the responsibility of each generation to reach their generation for Christ. And I think that carries over to parents as well. You know, it's not only our responsibility to reach, you know, our own generation, but also that of our family, our moms and dads, to carry that on for us. And so Rachel made no little sacrifices, we'll see in the text today. And I want us to understand as we read through this what that looks like just individually in our lives today. So if you're with me, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. You can have that if you don't have a Bible today. So the first fill in the blank is present hope revealed. Present hope revealed. It says in verse 16, they journeyed from Bethel when they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel went into labor and she had hard labor. Now, you see the picture there. Gender reveal parties are something of a new thing, from what I understand. Certainly part of my generation, so you know we did all that several times over. You had to think of a different way, you know, for each child, of course, and you know, come up with a fun way to reveal it. And you know, the thing about the ancient times is they didn't know until baby was born, right? So there was some mystery, there was some uncertainty about what child would be coming, and there was a lot of significance too for whether this was going to be a girl or a boy. That would kind of change a lot of things for the family, depending on the gender. And the text is interesting to me because the Bible makes a specific distinction here, and it says she had hard labor. I would think that all labors in the ancient times were hard. Not that any present are not hard. I mean, I've been in the room and I'm like, this is, I just, you know, yeah, a guy would not be able to do that. Obviously, God made us certain ways. And I've been there just almost passing out, you know, in the room just by observing, you know, what has gone on. But here the text says that she had hard labor. And so it's the word kasha in the Hebrew, and it means suffered severely. you imagine? And there's a lot of things that our, you know, our moms go through and suffer and give up, but certainly bearing children is one of those. And now, you know, if you think back to what's going on, so they're on the side of the road. There's no 911. There's no ambulance coming. We've gotten a few of those calls here in Elba. You know, someone calls, and so it pops up on my pager because I work with the fire department. It's like, you know, woman having baby, and they had to stop on the side of the road. So it just, you know, it makes me think of that. Like, that's a really tough situation if you can get to a hospital or if there's an ambulance coming. But Rachel was here with the midwife on the side of the road. And the things that proceed with this present hope revealed in verse 17, it says, "And when her labor was at its hardest," so it was already hard, it was already severe, "when her labor was at the hardest, the midwife said to her, 'Do not fear, for you have another son.'" And so this was significant, the son who would eventually be named Benjamin, who was coming in this line of this family who was very significant in God's people. In fact, he'd play an important role as they would head to Egypt and all be there standing before Joseph at the end of the book of Genesis and play a fairly influential role. And so more than this, a son during this time would guarantee more of a claim in the family. Now, many times in the ancient times, there wouldn't be any mention of women. So if something like this happened, it would just be, "And they had a son." Nothing would be mentioned of the woman. In fact, this wasn't probably a story that was uncommon. Someone goes into labor. It's a hard labor. And there's no transfusions. There's no monitors to, you know, figure out what's going on if there's a problem. And so Rachel, who ended up giving her life, this would be a fairly common story. And you know, as we read the text, I think we should give some significance to that because women and ladies and moms in the text are given some some credit here. And I think God does this for a reason. He doesn't discount. He doesn't discredit. He doesn't say this isn't important for us to consider, the sacrifice that was made for a new life to come forth. And so that's the first fill in the blank. Present hope revealed. As soon as she heard she had a son, she would think to herself, "Wow, there's great hope here. I know there's going to be something that he's going to do. It's going to be important." And so the second fill in the blank is future hope established. So we've got this present hope revealed and a future hope established through the son who is coming. In verse 18 it says, "And as her soul was departing, for she knew she was dying, she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin." And so although she wouldn't see it, she trusted God. The son's name would reflect this. And so people's names meant important things back then. So I know we attribute significance to the names that we give our kids, I'm sure. We just attach a lot of personal things to them, and so there may not be a whole lot of meanings behind them. But at this time, there were a lot of meanings, and so, you know, I know, you know, we think of names now, people just, I don't know if they're just running out of names they think are cool, but, you know, kids, you know, they're like, "I'm going to name our kid Apple," right? Or, you know, North, or, you know, something like that. They're just like, we want to name something cool, you know, something memorable. But at this time, names had very significant meaning. And so Rachel named her son Ben-Oni. So she's giving birth at this time. She's like, "I got a name for him right now." There's no gender reveal. There was no ability to know months in advance. I think they'd even do like genetic testing now. So it's like, you can know, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 weeks in. It's kind of crazy to me. But so you can know and you can come up with a name well in advance. And so she immediately thinks of this name, Ben-Oni, and it means either son of my sorrow or son of my strength. It can mean either or, but I think that it meant both in this context. And so a son of my sorrow and son of my strength, and Jacob would later call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so this was great joy and with great sorrow. There's a lot of sacrifice made by ladies in the text and certainly by our wives, by our moms. And so I wonder if we've ever thought about this in the, you know, the context of like God's overarching plan for the world. Christy, she's not here now. She's in the nursery with the kids. But we've been through a variety of struggles, and we've kind of had to work through, like, the sacrifice of, okay, to bear children might mean a lot of difficulty for us, and more specifically her. And so we've been through a number of those different situations. And in fact, she struggles with a variety of health issues. And when she was pregnant with Sydney, as many of you know, she had a seizure. And so I didn't know, just at the house with her waiting on the ambulance, if this was like a similar situation. And I thought to myself afterwards, like what great sacrifice have we considered and have we potentially made and or will make for our kids, just to see our children come into the world. And so I know this wouldn't have even been a question, you know, in Rachel's mind in the text. This would have, every woman would have to assume that due to the placement in history, they didn't even know the technological advancements, epidurals, what is that? they wouldn't have any access to those things, and they would have to immediately consider the result or the impact or the sacrifice that they would have to potentially make, given that none of those things would be available. And Rachel certainly did. And so a name fitting for the setting that she was experiencing, because she had faith in the future, right? That God would use her son for something great. But she said, Bene One, son of my sorrow, or son of my strength. So I think as we read this too, we've got to consider that, you know, these last words are really important, because there's acknowledgement in them. Even if she just says, this is his name, and she's gone, She's acknowledging some things, that, and this, to bring life into the world has been difficult, right? It's been sorrowful, and it's going to end for her. But yet, that same life, she's able to say, I think in this instance, great sorrow and great strength. What's this going to bring? Continuation of her line, significance for her family. She knows this, and she's already taken into account the cost that she might have to make. And in verse 19, it says, so Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And so the Bible doesn't pull any punches for us here. You know, we love a story that ends with everybody, you know, and everybody lived happily ever after, right? And, you know, the truth is that's just not how life works many times. You know, we read through these accounts, and we're like, I'm glad that didn't happen to me or our family, but she counted the cost, and a present hope was revealed, and a future hope was established for a family. Sure, there were lots of other sons, right? There were lots of other, you know, kids in the family, but this would be the last one for her. And there would be significance here. Bene Oni, son of my sorrow, son of my strength, right? You know, we've probably thought maybe at different phases of life, maybe our kids are causing us more grief, and we think, man, I should have named you son of my sorrow, or, you know, daughter of my sorrow. But yet Rachel's able to see not just the good and the potential future impact, but she sees both, right? That this came at a cost, but that there's going to be something better. There's going to be some great strength that's going to come out of this. And here's the last thing. So we've got present hope, future hope established, and remembering hope well. Remembering hope well. And then we'll finish with verse 20. It says, and Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Now, returning to the pain reminds us of what God has done. You know, wouldn't it be easy if we could just forget, you know, all the difficult things that happen in life and all the sorrowful things? You would think that would be true. I think that's what the world tries to do, right? Christian was talking about that as we were in our worship time. It's like, here's everything that will make you happy. Here's everything that will bring you joy. And most of it is some version of like this self-medicate yourself with whatever brings you the most joy. You know, whether that's food or some other form of pleasure, or vegging out, you know, on the TV or whatever. You know, you fill in the blank and go, these are the things that bring me joy and happiness. And as long as I can fill as much of my life with those as possible, and I can just remove myself away from the things that cause me difficulty or the things that cause me pain. But you know, this tomb was more than just a tomb. It was more than just a headstone. It was a pillar. And if you notice throughout the text, whether someone passed away or whether there was a great event for God's people or whether there was this really difficult or sorrowful time, they didn't just pretend it didn't happen. They didn't just brush it under the rug. They would set up monuments and memorials because, well, they knew, that generation knew, they wouldn't always be around. And so they set up these places of remembrance. So when their relatives came, they would go, oh, that's the pillar of Rachel. Remember what happened here? All the ladies would say, oh, yeah, Rachel. She paid the ultimate price so that she could bring Benjamin, Ben-Ione, son of my sorrow, son of my strength, right? And so they remembered the times of great difficulty, and they remembered hope well, right? That it wasn't just hope was established because everything went perfectly. Hope was established because God's people walked alongside him faithfully, counting the cost, and knowing that even though there would be things that would come that would be sorrowful, right? They acknowledged that. Still out of that sorrow was produced great strength. One of the tribes of God's family, Benjamin, as Jacob would refer to him. And so we never really know. You know, we don't think about the impact of those who have gone before us, the sacrifices that they have made. They just seem far away from us. And so my grandmother, my meemaw, she's in her 90s. I got to see her recently when I went down to Texas last week. And she gave us something I thought of significance. It was a blanket that her great-grandmother made. And I was like, wait a second, that's my great-great-great-grandmother. And so, you know, we took that home, and we actually put that, you know, on our bed. And I'm like, this blanket made by her, you know, because we don't do this kind of stuff anymore. Like, you know, who does that? This blanket made by her now, you know, warms us in the evening. And I'm like, man, I wonder if she thought that. Like looking all those years ahead, I'm making another blanket, but yet it still impacts people generations later, right? And we have these kind of things in our lives. We just don't think about, you know, the impact of those things, right? We don't think like, oh, that's significant, or oh, that's not a big deal. But they are. And the things that remind us, right, of those who have gone before us, who have faithfully followed God, we go, well, they're not with us anymore, right? But there are things that are reminders that we can take that can encourage us. Maybe the pillars for you, maybe it's not a blanket. Maybe it's something else, a pocket watch or a piece of jewelry. But there are things I think that God gives us to help remind us of this hope that we do have, this present hope revealed, this future hope established, and this remembering hope well. And so I don't know. I hope we would leave this place with that. You know, maybe you think to yourself, well, I don't really even know what that hope's all about. Like, why was this significant, Rachel and her placement in God's family and his history and that price that she paid? Well, we know this would ultimately lead to the family of Jesus, right? That he came for us, that he died for us on the cross, and he was raised from the dead on that third day so that we might have eternal life, right? The Bible says if we believe that, then we can have that. We can be with God in heaven forever. And so all these instances, all these placements of hope, and these last words that specifically Rachel had here, which was one of sacrifice, just in a simple naming of her son, she acknowledged the sorrow and the strength that could come from that, right? Now, I hope that not only in our own families, but in this family of God that we get to be a part of, we wouldn't discount the significance of those last words. And I think about one other thing I just want to share before we close, because we got a little bit of time. Whenever I get to go back to Texas, there's one thing that I usually do. I go back to a memorial. It's out in front of our church. If you don't know part of my story, when I was a kid, a man came into our church and shot 14 people on a Wednesday night prayer meeting time frame. There were a bunch of teenagers there and a lot of other things that were going on. And one of the people that was most influential in my life growing up, her name was Sydney Browning. That's why we named our third Sydney. She was the first person who lost her life that night. And if you go to the church today, which would be Wedgwood Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and there's that memorial set up, and they did this thing of like marble. It was really cool. And they put their faces of those who had lost their lives that night on there, and they had a little message, you know, from each of them, a Bible verse, if there was one that was significant to them. But, you know, when I go there and I sit there, I think, you know, and I go, it's not necessarily, it's time, you know, I remember it's a time of sorrow, yeah. But I was kind of thinking about like the moment that Rachel was having. It's like she had great sorrow, but she knew that there was great strength that was going to come from that instance, even though she wasn't going to be around to remember that. I remember sitting there, and every time I remember the last words that Sydney, my choir teacher, said, and she said, Michael, if you put all your effort into doing things for God, then you be able to do something great for him. Well, whatever it is, you put all your effort in it, stop being consumed, right, by the things of the world or, you know, everything else, then you might see something great happen for the Lord. And I hope we wouldn't discount, you know, those final words that we might have. This is a series that we've been in. What are the last words? What are we going to, you know, what are we going to be thinking about at the end? What are we going to say? It might just be that someone is listening, right? It might just be that whatever we have to say will be significant. I think that it would probably be for most of us in the room. But there's a reason for that. Rachel used her last words well. Son of sorrow, son of great strength. She acknowledged the difficulty in her experience in life, but then she said, there's great potential here. So what's God going to do, right? She wasn't going to see it, but we got to see it. We get to see it in the text, okay? So let me pray for you, and we'll close. Father, we thank you for the time together on this Mother's Day. It's a time to remember what great sacrifice, you know, our moms have made. And God, I pray if there's anybody here today, maybe they're just wondering or they're maybe they had a different life experience and didn't have necessarily that mom who made a great sacrifice for them. I pray that maybe they would see those other people in their lives. Maybe there's been a spiritual mom in their life that had words for them that were important, that were lasting, that maybe even shaped the trajectory of their life. We pray today that we would really consider those words, those who have gone before us, the words that we'll have to say. We pray that the significance of them would be for you and not for us. It's your name we pray. Amen.